Well, welcome into the Fan pregame. Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Ben Ennis joining us this week. Ben, how was the game last night?
It was great. Spectacular. Yeah. What a game.
Was it?
There were balls and
which
strikes.
Game are we talking about?
Baseball game that people should watch on Sportsnet tonight as well. Blue Jays continuing their series against the Boston Red Sox, who are still alive. Blue Jays officially eliminated. Red Sox are right there. No, by which I mean they're like on the verge of also being eliminated. No, it's fine. I mean, there's nothing better than being at a baseball game, especially the new renovated ballpark.
It's beautiful.
Spectacular.
It is beautiful. I know another Sportsnet employee went to the Bills-Jags game, and they are a Jaguars fan. So that one didn't work out. You picked, one just down the road. But you mentioned Jays-Red Sox. We're going to have that up on Sportsnet at 7 o'clock. It's Bowden France's last start of the season. And you weren't here a couple weeks ago. Justin and I were debating if Bowden France was the best story of the Blue Jays season. You know, there's a couple things, whether it's Vladdy, whether it's that beautiful ballpark. But this is the last chance we see Bowden France this year. He's had obviously this incredible series of starts since August. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he puts on like the final note of the Blue Jays season tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's already passed the audition. Like, he is in the rotation to start 2025. There's just no debate about that. This will be his 10th start since re-entering the rotation. So he's had 9 previous to this. We know all the one-hitters. His worst start was he gave up three hits. he gave up 3 runs in his first start of the stretch, went 5 2/3 against the Orioles. But he's been unreal, and whether he's, like, an ace? I mean, that's yet to be determined, but clearly a major league caliber starter going into 2025.
I hope he gets, he gets the no hit tonight. We're not gonna say yes or no to that, but I'm going to keep my eyes on it. We'll see if they let him have the leash too to pitch the whole game. This is the last one for him. So we'll take a look. We'll get into more baseball a little later on. Robert Flores is going to join us to tee up the really awesome wild card race that we're watching in MLB. But let's bring in our first guest, Andy Petrillo, host of NHL Coast to Coast on Amazon. Congratulations, Andy. What a new title. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. A little bit of a whirlwind, obviously, the last 24 hours with everything finally coming about. And, of course, my dogs just have to start chiming in right at this exact moment. They're excited about it, too. But, yeah, I mean, everyone now knows Amazon. I mean, we've known for a while Amazon would be part of Monday Night Hockey, and now there's the Thursday Coast to Coast show as well. But the talent is what's been unveiled yesterday. So I am very excited to be a part of it.
So is there like a big remote? How do you work it? Because it's like Red Zone for hockey, right? Like who's making the decision as to which game to go to?
Well, whatever the games are that night, I mean, they're all available to us. Yeah. So you're right. It's like the NFL Red Zone, wherever there's a goal, wherever there's a power play, wherever there was a big hit, big play, you name it. Producer will just pipe into my ear and say, we got to go. Like we're going there. And I'm always going to have 2 analysts with me, and they'll be rotating analysts as well. So just some great experts in the field of hockey. I've been told we might even have some celebrities. I'm like, can I put in requests for who I would like?
Who would be there? Who's your top request?
Well, I think there's an obvious one. Some people might roll their eyes at this, but the obvious one is Justin Bieber.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he'll be in there.
Yeah, huge Toronto Maple Leafs fan. I mean, I'd love to ask him. I mean, his kid is Jack Blues. I'm pretty sure Blues is not for St. Louis. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of, celebrities that apparently will be coming through as well. And all the games that are happening on that Thursday night, will be available to us to jump in and dissect and see what's going on. But the show itself is going to be really long. It's almost like an Olympic-style show.
Yeah, how do you train for that, Andy?
So you do a lot of crying for the show. You just get it all out of your system that you're going to be sitting there anywhere from 5 to 7 hours. They've promised me they're going to work in bathroom breaks. So I'm holding them to it. I'm going to trust them, but there'll be an opportunity obviously to do a lot of storytelling, which is really nice. You have that kind of length of a show. You are going to get into the X's and O's, but you're going to also do a lot of storytelling. So I almost feel like, and I don't want to make it sound like I can even pull this off. We'll see. But it's NFL Red Zone meets like the, Peyton and Eli Manning type of thing. I'm not trying to say I'm a comedian. I'm not trying to say I'm going to be as funny or entertaining. I'll leave that up to my analyst. But I think that's kind of that blend that Amazon is looking for, where we can be informative, but also be really entertaining at the same time. And when you have anywhere from 5 to 7 hours. I mean, you could hit, you know, a different chord almost every hour and get, you know, attract a different kind of fan base every hour as well. So it's a challenge, but it's one that we're all embracing.
Yeah. And scoring's been so up in the NHL over the years. There's so many exciting teams. Like, what is the one team that, you know, every Thursday you're going to be thinking about flipping over to that game because, you know, that they're going to produce a bunch of goals? The team that you're most excited to see this regular season?
Well, you know how it goes, right? Like, there's a night where you probably have all these stories and everything you want to share, and suddenly it's a night where all these goals are being scored, and there's barely really any story time that's going to happen. It's a lot of analyzing. Great. And then there are some nights where you're like, oh man, I really hope there are a lot of goals. And suddenly nobody wants to offend the goalie and nobody wants to score. So I can't tell you like what I'd be excited to see or not see, because there are so many incredible teams. We know that there are incredible rivalries, but on any given night, it can be spectacular. And then it can also be a dud. So we just have to be prepared for everything that's going to happen on a Thursday night. And hopefully there are a lot of games. I think the NHL has made a conscious effort to, you know, be sure that Thursdays are pretty heavily loaded. And if, you know, three games are bad, then maybe the other four are really good. So we're, you know, whatever ends up being the star that night, we just have to go with the flow. That's kind of also what's fun about this show, is that it is unpredictable and you don't know who's going to be a star on what night.
I'm sure you'll spend lots of time talking about those Maple Leafs. New coach, new captain, but do you think we're going to see new results? Like, what is different about this Leafs team that you think might be able to bring them over the hump and maybe more than one playoff round that maybe we can see more of those Amazon postseason clips that we're getting teases of now, which look pretty good?
Yeah, if anyone has the answer to that, me too. I love the answer to that too. I tried to figure it out for many, many, many years as I covered the team. But yeah, part of the unveil yesterday was we were treated to a screening of that first episode and just reliving it. I didn't realize how much angst it caused me until Thomas Hickey like put his arm around me and started patting my back. Yeah. Like, there. Is it that obvious that I'm reliving this and just like hyperventilating here? I don't know. I do think a different voice when it comes to the coach is really key here. Just the pedigree that Craig Berube comes with, the experience that he comes with, the Stanley Cup that he comes with. And I think the players themselves maybe just need, sometimes it's, I don't want to say that's going to be the be all and end all and the answer to everything. But I do think that sometimes it's those kinds of adjustments where the players are like, that's just a different voice, which also means a different message, which also means different ways of practicing and training, which also means just everything is different. Your routine is different. What you can get away with is different. What's expected of you is different. And I think that there's sometimes that little switch that can go off in a player's brain where they have to make an adjustment. Because it's a new voice, it's a new presence, and suddenly that adjustment leads to different kinds of results. And obviously, a lot of people are hoping there'll be positive results for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I don't think we can underestimate the importance of a new coach coming on board, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I mean, of course, I'd like to say the players have absolutely had enough. And so this is the, but I think they've had enough the other years too.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a matter of finding right line combinations, that magic. And who knows? Yeah, maybe now with Austin Matthews as captain, you know, you never know. Sometimes when you've been given that freedom to say you're the guy now, maybe he does speak up in different ways. Maybe he does do things in different ways that trickle down the team. And again, that's an adjustment for everybody else that can lead to positive things. So I don't know, but I always say, you know, and I've always been told, don't take the regular season for granted. And I don't, but I do think that we have more faith in this team doing well in the regular season, getting to the playoffs. So I always say, check in with me in April and then we'll have a conversation then.
Yeah, the journey's fun, though, too. Who didn't enjoy watching Austin Matthews score 69 goals a season ago? Who didn't enjoy William Nylander and his star turn going to Sweden, wearing the tank top?
Yes.
He was obviously a star of that first episode. So we've only seen the trailer, Andy. It seems like we're going to get some juicy stuff. Can you give us like a little more insight into how people will view William Nylander after seeing that first episode?
Well, I mean, I hope people like him anyway. I've always thought he was a great guy. But I think the aim of this, like anything that peels back the curtain and brings you behind the scenes, they humanize the person, right? So you're going to see a lot of, you know, William Nylander. That's the human. That's the son who's somebody's best friend. I will say this. He does have two absolutely adorable dogs mm-hmm. who, by the way, are so well-trained, they don't need leashes. And I'm like, how?
I wish my dog was listening to that.
My dogs, too, who, by the way, just finished barking, you know, at the top of this interview. And now they're looking at me like I'm to blame for the reason why they were barking. And I didn't go check out what was happening. But I'm like, how did he get them to? So I have to ask Willie that. That's the first question I'm going to ask him. How did you get your dogs to just? I mean, downtown Toronto is where this guy's walking. He's not walking in a forest. And these dogs are attached to him with no leash. But I think the key here is you're going to see the human side as well. And also a lot of things we want players to say, which is I care and I want to win. You're going to hear them say it. Mm. And it's so weird because you think we should know that already about them, but sometimes we just like to, you know, have it vocalized and they definitely say it. So I hope people realize that, you know, these are players who do give it their all the time.
So the Leafs added, obviously, a couple new faces this offseason, maybe more or less than we had predicted. But I wonder if there's one that you're really intrigued to track over the season, if it's like a Max Pacioretty who might make this roster, or what Chris Tanev can do to this lineup, or maybe some of the goaltending battles. Like, who is it that you either hope stick with the Leafs or at least throughout this preseason really get a good look at?
Yeah, I think it's kind of all the above that you just said right there, because to me, I mean, we're always going to be curious who's going to play with Austin Matthews. Is William Nylander going to stay as that center? Who's going to play with him? But and I know this is not as sexy as an answer, but it's always going to be that bottom six. Mm. It just always is, because to me, the other guys, we talk about them all the time, the core four, like we just know that they're going to perform. It's just a matter of who will jive with them. But then where is that secondary scoring going to come from sometimes, right? And I always go back to an interview I did with Sidney Crosby. And I just asked somebody who's won a lot of cups, you know, what's the success to winning a Stanley Cup? And he did say, he goes, obviously it goes without saying, you know, you need your best players to, you know, to show up. He's like, but I've been in enough of these battles to know that best players oftentimes cancel out best players. Mm-hmm. So it's that secondary scoring. It's your third line guys, your fourth line guys who suddenly turn into these, you know, heroes in the playoffs. Bickle, Bonino, like names that maybe don't normally stand out during the regular season. Suddenly they're putting up numbers in the postseason, Joel Ward and things that he was even able to do with Washington. Like, and I always took that to heart. And I'm like, he's right. Because who are the other teams going to play the hardest? Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Mitch Marner. And it's incumbent on those guys to figure out how to get away from the other team, no doubt about it. But I always think the Achilles heel for the Leafs, you know, other than needing that strong goaltending, has been that depth. So I want to see who's going to fill that out.
Yeah, you are allowed to put on the Superman cape, though, like Connor McDavid did, leading the Oilers all the way to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final last season. So they are actually the Vegas odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup, despite the fact they lost the Panthers in Game 7 last season. Panthers' second favorite. Who do you view as the favorite to win it all before we've played a game yet, Andy?
Oh, my goodness. That's so unfair.
Yeah. I didn't say it was going to be fair. Was this supposed to be fair? I missed that conversation about this being a fair interview.
Can I just plead the fifth and say, I don't know who's going to be the favorite?
Nobody knows. We won't hold it to you.
I know. Well, see, that's the thing, though. Nowadays, people will hold it to you. I can agree with people that Edmonton is still strong, although I am curious to see the dynamic of that team with Noah Vander Kane just coming out now and saying going to be gone like 5 to 6 months. And I mean, that's a gritty, gritty player. I don't know. So again, it doesn't surprise me that Edmonton would be up there without a doubt, but we'll see. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to say, we'll see. I mean, the Leafs are playing their second preseason game tonight. I still have a lot of analyzing to do. I have no clue. Absolutely none.
All good. I'm glad I don't have to answer that. Maybe Ben will make me after. But we're talking to Andy Petrillo, host of NHL Coast to Coast on Amazon, which is coming quite soon to the regular season. Okay, so some new faces. We mentioned this with new teams. Line A with Montreal, Stamkos in Nashville, and Jake DeBrusk in Vancouver. Those are some big changes. Like, who do you think is getting into a good landing spot where they can make a big impact or maybe rejuvenate a franchise out of those three, if I gave you three?
Yeah, maybe DeBrusk, Vancouver. I mean, Vancouver, again, another solid team, obviously hoping the goaltending will be healthy. I think that's the big question there. Stamkos, why not be curious to see what he can do in Nashville? I do love Nashville as a city. I love that fan base too. But I do think it's also a lot, just like, you know, you mentioned Max Pacioretty, and no doubt he'll give it his all in trying to make this Leafs lineup. Steven Stamkos is a great player, but we also have to accept that he's also not Steven Stamkos mm-hmm. at 5 years, six, seven, eight, you know, 8 years ago even, right? So what kind of role will he play there? And Patrick Laine, I think, probably has the most questions around him. Not unfairly. I mean, I commend him for being open and honest and things that he's going through. And I really hope that that encourages and, you know, helps other people and gives them hope to come out. And, you know, if they need to speak about anything and ask for help, for sure. But I think a lot of people at the end of the day, when you're just focusing on hockey, what kind of Patrick Laine are you going to get? Mm. Right? Like, what is he? Who is he going to be? He, too, isn't exactly, you know, the spring chicken that first entered the league however many years ago, right? And he's been through it. So who are you going to get? Like, who's Montreal going to get? What kind of Patrick Laine are you going to get? So I think that's going to be a really big question. But I think a lot of people are, I can speak for myself that, you know, from a personal just point of view, from a human point of view, I'm rooting for him. Love to see him, you know, get back, get his groove back and find his love for the game once again and thrive. But all three are very, very interesting in the, again, like just how they fit into the current structure of those teams.
Well, we've seen the three teams at the top of the Atlantic year over year over year. It's Maple Leafs, it's the Lightning, it's the Bruins. And every year there's like a little like run by one of those other teams that are building towards making the playoffs, whether it's the Sabres, whether it's the Senators, you know, so the Montreal Canadiens, like, at some point, one of those teams is going to make the playoffs. Who has the most pressure out of, like, the Senators, Sabres? Let's throw the Canadiens in there. Maybe we could throw the Red Wings in there as well.
Red Wings, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those teams have been building towards making the postseason. Who's got the most pressure to finally break through and make a playoff spot in the Atlantic Division?
Yeah, I mean, every single one of their fan bases will say it's their team that... Sure. But I mean, I would take a look at the Ottawa Senators because I think on paper, they just have a ton of talent. And we've been saying it for a few years now that based on, you know, what we see on paper, they should make it and they haven't. And the word on the street, you know, speaking to a lot of their hockey pundits out there, they seem to have this belief that with signing Allmark, like they've solidified something in net. They've shored that up. So there's this real belief with everything else coming together up front. And now with goaltending, they feel is very strong. New head coach as well in Travis. They just don't see any other excuses or reasons why this team should not be making the playoffs. So I think for me, like the Ottawa Senators now, also just being a Canadian team, Canadian market, I do think they have a ton of pressure because they have so much talent. You can't waste Tkachuk. You can't waste Stützle. Right now you have this great goalie. Like there's so much more that you can go down the lineup. You know, again, we'll just keep an eye and I got to take, you know, double check who they're going to be playing here tonight against the
they
Leafs.
They basically have their full lineup tonight against the Leafs AHL or lower lineup.
Yes. And you know how it is, right? Yep. So again, if Ottawa goes out and smokes the Leafs, there's always going to be like, yeah, but there's, you know, nobody of significance True. In the Leafs lineup. Doesn't matter. But I do want to see what they look like, because again, for years, we've been saying on paper, they look good. They should make it, and then they don't. But now with other little pieces they put in here and there, there's a real belief that the Ottawa Senators should at least get into the playoffs. So I would say that they probably then have the pressure there because they have the eyeballs on them.
Yeah, our very own Elliot Friedman on Sunday night had the sign that says Sens playoffs, and that's going to be memed into oblivion if they don't make it. So, and just in terms for his sake, I hope they do. I got one last one for you, Andy. This is a big year because it's going to be the return of some international hockey. We've got the, what is it called? The Frozen
Four Nations. Four Nations. Face-off.
Four English. Nations face-off. Actually, I know all about it. I'm very excited for it. It's coming in a few months. But I wonder for you, like, just having that taste back. We know the Olympics are right around the corner. Having international competition back. Some of the players that are on the bubble that are going to be trying to, you know, get the opportunity to represent their country for the first time. How exciting is it to have that as something on tap this season?
I'm curious to see how it'll play out, right? Because is this going to be better than the World Cup of Hockey? I think a lot of people have always kind of looked at that and said, did that feel, you know, real? Was that pitchy? So I think this is, once again, the NHL understanding, to your point, like there is a fan base that wants to see best on best when it comes to nationalities, which is why, you know, fan bases and the players themselves have been pushing to get back into the Olympics, which we're all very excited for when it comes to Milan. But, you know, in the process, this is something too that they want to capitalize on. And the players seem to be on board with it too, which, you know, who knows? I don't think it'll ever replace an all-star because the all-star, again, you know, if I get it, if it's not in your market, you don't care for it, but the significance of it in the markets, the money it makes, sponsors, you name it, it's still very valuable to the NHL. I want to see how this plays out. I like, because here's the other, like the best players in the league, we've gone, Sochi was the last time they played at the Olympics, right? It's 2014. Mm. There's a decade that we've gone without seeing the best players playing together, right? Like whoever's going to be on these teams. Like I want to see Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby. I want to see Austin Matthews, you know, and Eichel. Like I want to see these guys playing together and what kind of magic can they produce? And I think that that's something really special. There's an entire fan base out there who was 10 years old the last time they were in the Olympics. So you have 20-year-olds out there. We're like, I've never seen this. I've never seen this come together and happen. So that's why I think it'll be great. And I want to see how it'll be received. I'm curious to see that.
Okay, well, we're excited to see how you do with the newest endeavor, the NHL Coast to Coast on Amazon. Best of luck, Andy. Looking forward to watching and seeing you surf those channels through. And you're like the Scott Hansen of Amazon. So no pressure. You got this.
Wish me luck.
You got it. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Andy Petrillo, host of the newest NHL Coast to Coast on Amazon, which will be Thursday nights going across the league. And yeah, it's good that the NHL put lots of games. It'll be lots to look at. It'll be a really fun adventure.
Yeah, I love that idea. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a great, great idea because it takes the decision-making out of your hands, mm-hmm. right? Like, and I'll have someone to blame, too. If I miss true. Something, right? Like they flipped to the wrong game. Put it on somebody else. Not my fault.
It's true.
I don't want that type of responsibility. Now it's on Andy.
There you go.
Even though she's probably not the one deciding which game to go to, she's the face of it. Mm-hmm. And she's going to bear that responsibility.
I believe in her and those controlling behind the scenes. Let's quickly do our Metallica read for our lovely listeners today. I'll give it a go today. Metallica is bringing, that's all you're getting, is bringing its record-breaking M72 World Tour to Rogers Center on April 24th with Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies, and April 26th with Limp Bizkit and Ice Nine Kills. To celebrate, we are giving away tickets to both shows. What makes these shows so unique is that there will be no repeat songs over the course of both nights, and you'll have a chance to go to both shows if you win with us. To enter, all you have to do is listen to Sportsnet 590 The Fan for the code word, then text the code word to 59590. Standard message and data rates may apply. Today's code word is reload. Text reload to 59590 right now to enter for your chance to win. If you don't win with us, just a reminder that tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m.
All right. All right.
You a Metallica guy?
I am all right with Metallica.
You think you could wear that to a Metallica shirt? Show?
I mean, I could.
You might
I don't
stand
know
out.
If I would advise it. Like, I don't know if I would. Yeah. I would like to imagine that the Metallica fan base would be accepting of all shirts, that's of true. All colors, including bright
they'd,
orange.
They'd say, look at this guy. Come on up on stage.
Maybe.
There you go. Want to do some best bets before we take a break?
Okay.
Okay. My best bet comes from tonight's Red Sox-Blue Jays game, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 Fan. We got a rousing applause for Danny Jansen yesterday, but he wasn't in the lineup. So I'm going to see a revenge angle. Danny Jansen home run plus 460. I know I was talking about it being Bowden Francis's final start, and we know how good he's been, but I also love a good revenge angle parlay. So you could do either. You could do like a Bowden Francis to have a good game and Danny Jansen to still get a home run, but I'm just giving you Danny Jansen ooh. Tonight.
Oh, I like that a lot. What a moment that would be. That would be a highlight of this final
week. And that stuff happens, you know?
Yeah. I believe in it. Me too.
Okay.
To a degree. You know what I believe in more, though, is the Mariners and Astros scoring fewer than 7 runs in tonight's baseball game. It's minus money because, well, the Mariners are the best pitching team in baseball, and they're somehow going to miss the playoffs. They got Logan Gilbert on the mound with his ERA of 3.24 against Framber Valdez, who's been the Astros' ace, mm-hmm. as he usually is, with an ERA under 3. The Mariners can't score normally, like in normal circumstances against like average pitching, but this is one of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball. They're desperate for wins. They're still alive in both the American League West and the American League Wild Card chase. So they're going to be loading up their lineup as much as they can. So we'll see, I guess, some Justin Turner action in there and obviously Randy Arozarena, but it hasn't been enough for them all season long generally. So I like the under 7 in this one.
Perfect. This is a fun week in baseball. A lot riding on every single game. We saw a good one today for the Tigers with a 2-1 win. We're going to go into a couple of these wild card scenarios with Robert Flores on the other side of the break, and we'll wrap things up. We'll look at the new NFL MVP, who I might have placed some money on last night, and he might play for the Buffalo Bills. All that and more to come on the Fan Pregame. We'll be right back. We're back on the Fan Pregame, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan a little later on. It will be the Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays up on Sportsnet at 7 o'clock. And we'll see Bowden Francis' last start of the season, and Danny Jansen seems to be in the lineup. So Ben Tangle there too. Whoa. Cranking up those tunes.
Love it.
Yeah, love it.
No, it's certainly not ringing in my ears now. The Red Sox had a moment there where they were in the mix in the American League wild card chase. And man, the Tigers actually sold at the deadline.
That's crazy to me.
The Royals are absolutely floundering right now. It is incredible that the Blue Jays have been out of it for so long, and it's really not going to take much to make the playoffs as that third wild card team in the American League. And good for Tigers fans, I guess, that they could be there.
I might be becoming like a Tigers fan. I think they're maybe just stealing the hearts of the gritty team that came out of nowhere. So they're still got a couple games to go, but I've got my eyes on the Tigers for sure. Let's bring in Robert Flores of MLB Network. Thanks so much for jumping on. It's busy time of year. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
We're good. I was just talking about the Tigers. You know, the 2-1 win today, Skubal undefeated in his last 9 outings. They've won, Detroit's won 12 of their last 15. Went from literally no chance, like maybe 0 point something, to now being a few games away. They're going to play the Rays and the White Sox. So is this the team that I guess people that don't have a vested interest, like Blue Jays fans, might like feel heartwarmed around?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think you mentioned it. As of August 11th, I think I read where they had their playoff chances were 1%. Mm. And they trade their second best pitcher in Jack Flaherty at the deadline. They make some other minor moves. They get Sweeney back in return as part of that deal. Javi Baez goes away with the injury. And I know he hasn't been very productive, but this is just seemingly come out of nowhere because their starting rotation is Skubal and Mize and who knows, we might see an opener one day and then we just bring out a whole bunch of bullpen. So this is I think this is what makes the third wild card so great. And everyone that complained about it and moaned that it was going to be a black eye on the sport, they couldn't be more wrong because this is fantastic.
Yeah, how do you feel about the Houston Astros maybe matching up with them in that wild card round? And Skubal, when you got that guy starting one of maybe 3 games, yeah, you're in a series, right?
No, absolutely. I'll let you in on a little secret. I'm from Houston, so I'm an Astros fan.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
I do not want any part of A.J. Hinch coming back to Minute Maid Park with Tarek Skubal possibly in the mix. Now, the one thing that I think is interesting is that there is a chance that Skubal might have to pitch again this week or before the regular season ends. And if that happens, what does that do for his availability in the wild card? But look, there's still a lot of games left to be played, but certainly the Tigers they have all the momentum. And you guys mentioned in the open of this segment, the Twins and the Royals just can't get out of their own way right now.
No, it's a 7-game losing streak for the Royals right now. And Astros have a huge series against the Mariners right now. Huge for the Mariners. I mean, the Astros are going to be in, you would think. I think they have a 4-game lead in the division with just 6 games to go. Astros, as I'm sure as you well know, Robert, have the best record in the American League since May 1st, though. They're not going to be the number one seed in the American League. They had a tough start to their regular season. But are they the favorite in the league, in hiding in plain sight because of this run that's been happening since May?
I think that, yes. I'll answer it this way. I don't know if they're the favorite. I think right now, maybe you could tell me what the betting odds are, but I think the betting favorite would be the New York Yankees to come out of the American League. The other thing that concerns me about the Astros is the health of Yordan Alvarez. Alvarez left Sunday's game with a sprained knee, sliding into second base. He's unavailable for this series against the Mariners. After Seattle, they then go to Cleveland to finish up with the Guardians. I would be shocked, just my gut feeling, if we see Yordan the rest of the regular season. So as far as what the Astros' chances are, I think it really rests on what the health status is of Yordan Alvarez. Because if he's not available, they're not going. I mean, I don't even know if they go past the wild card round. That, I mean, that's he's just such a huge, huge part of their offense.
Yeah, latest standings, we got Yankees plus 175 to advance, Astros plus 330. So they're just right there, but they definitely have the Yankees as the favorites. But the Guardians, 4-1. They got a lot of Canadians. I think that maybe Canada would pick them as a team to root for. What do you like about the Cleveland Guardians as a potential team to root for, at least?
I like their bullpen. They have the best bullpen in all of baseball. Stephen Vogt has done an amazing job, a first-year manager taking over for a eventual Hall of Fame manager in Terry Francona. But to come in as a first-year manager and to really have a good handle on how to use his bullpen, they are diminished a little bit in the starting rotation. They've been hurt by injuries. They've been hurt by ineffective performance. But that bullpen has been steady all throughout. And Emmanuel Clase, he's not going to win the Cy Young in the American League. That's going to go to Tarek Skubal, but Emmanuel Clase deserves some votes. That's how good he's been. The question I have with the Guardians is, can they hit enough? Can they score enough? And will that bullpen that has been used so heavily, will it run out of fuel? Will it be on fumes by the time we get to October? We'll have to wait and see.
Clase is pitching like a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Mean, he keeps this up for a couple more years. Joey Ohtani's going to the Hall of Fame. I think we can all agree, if he retired today, headed to the Hall of Fame, an incredible season. What a way to join the 50-50 club as well. And he's going to see his first postseason action ever in his career. You can't take away the regular season numbers. Like, that was incredible. I mean, how could the narrative shift with how he does, how the Dodgers do in the postseason with, I'm sure, all the pressure on them? I haven't checked the Vegas odds, but they've got to be the favorites to come out of the National League.
Oh, no doubt. Listen, they have all the pressure on them. They're the ones that spent all that money. They're the ones that have the $700 million Shohei Ohtani in their lineup. They have Mookie Betts. They have Freddie Freeman. Those three are arguably, I mean, that's arguably the best top three in the history of baseball when you look at a batting order. So, yeah, they have all the pressure on them. The questions I have about the Dodgers are their starting rotation. There is no Tyler Glass now. Clayton Kershaw is obviously, he's a Hall of Famer, but he's towards the end of his career than his prime. So do they have enough starting pitching? And we've seen this before. It was just a couple years ago. The Padres went into Dodger Stadium and took them out. We saw the Arizona Diamondbacks last year go into Dodger Stadium and take them out. So they know their recent history in the postseason. So, yeah, the pressure's on them. But they're going to be a tough out, no doubt. And I cannot wait to see Shohei Ohtani on the game's biggest stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if you know this little bit of trivia. I had to look it up today. So Mike Schmidt is the last player to win his league's MVP and a World Series MVP in the same year. I think we all think that Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani are going to be the American League and National League MVPs. Mm-hmm. Of those two, who is the better shot of being World Series MVP? Of course, World Series MVP is also a little weird one. Your team has to win, but you have to perform the best over that seven-game series. But I guess this is a way of asking you, who has a better chance of winning the World Series, the Yankees or the Dodgers?
I think I would lean towards the Yankees, because I think their path to the World Series is just a tiny, teensy, weensy bit easier than the Dodgers. The National League, it's going to be like a Hell in the Cell steel cage match. I mean, it's going to be, because listen, you've got the Dodgers, you've got the Phillies, you've got the Padres, you've got the Diamondbacks. Those four teams right there, they can win it all. Mm-hmm. That's how good they are. And oh, by the way, I forgot to mention the Milwaukee Brewers, who can throw a nasty bullpen at you. And they seem to be on some sort of team of destiny ride. So the National League, it's going to be a free-for-all. So I think the Yankees just have a tiny little bit easier path to the World Series because they're in the American League.
If this was a storybook, you'd see Shohei and the Dodgers and the Yankees and Aaron Judge in a World Series. I don't know if this is going to be a storybook season. We have seen a lot of crazy things. I think that for me, that would be my favorite World Series matchup. What would you put at the top of the power rankings of two teams going head-to-head for the World Series?
Well, at the beginning of the season, I had the Phillies and the Orioles meeting in the World Series. Mm-hmm. I still feel pretty good about that Philadelphia-Philly pick. The Orioles pick obviously looks a little bit shakier. They just don't have the starting pitching and the starting rotation. And coincidentally, you know, our show, MLB Central and MLB Network, we were clamoring for them to make a big move for Tarek Skubal. Mm-hmm. Whether or not those conversations materialized, how far they ever got, we don't know. But, you know, they just have been, I don't know if they have enough from a starting pitching rotation standpoint. So I think it's going to be Phillies. I would love to see the Astros in there, but I don't think they have the pieces, and Yordan's health is a big question. So maybe this is the Yankees' year to get into the postseason or get into the World Series and win a World Series for the first time since the iPad was invented.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, the Orioles are under 500 since the All-Star break. They're 28-32. Yep. They have just not been good. And boy, yeah, if they don't retain Corbin Burns, kind of pitching staff that they have in 2025. Obviously, it's been a very disappointing season for the Blue Jays, and I mentioned it off the top how it really is not going to take a 100-win effort to win that third wild card spot in the American League, yeah. And somehow the Blue Jays have been out of it since July. They also have their two superstar players in Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. headed into their final years of team control. I mean, is this one of the biggest off seasons in the history of this Blue Jays franchise?
Yes, absolutely. Because you just mentioned it, you have two potential superstars. I think Vlad Jr. has solidified himself after the season he's had as a guy that is a cornerstone of a franchise. Is Bo Bichette that guy? Conventional wisdom says he can be, but is he? Obviously, he battled injuries this year, so it's a little bit unfair to make a snap judgment on 2024. But yeah, the Blue Jays go into this offseason needing to figure out who they are and who they want to retain and who's part of the solution and who's not. Mm-hmm. If I look, easy for me to say, I'm not the one getting paid the big bucks to make those decisions. I would try to find a way to sign Vlad Jr. to a contract extension. What that looks like, how much, I don't know. I think you start at whatever Paul Goldschmidt, and Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson got, and that's kind of your starting point. And look, they've got enough talent. I picked the Blue Jays to go to the American League Championship Series this year. That's just how much I believed
in
the talent.
You weren't alone.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, it has not worked out. Mm-hmm. Do I expect big changes to be made in the offseason? I think it's on the table. But they've got the talent. There is no excuse. There's no excuse for the Toronto Blue Jays with the talent in that clubhouse to be 11 games under 500.
No,
there's no excuse for it. And what went wrong? Injuries, guys having bad seasons, that happens. Is there something just not meshing in the clubhouse? Is it all three? Maybe. We don't know, mm-hmm. But they got to figure it out because I mean, they've got a great fan base. I love when the Blue Jays are playing in the postseason mm-hmm. because when they're playing at home in the postseason, that place is loud. Those fans are into it. And it's just a great atmosphere. So I know the fans are really, really disappointed in this group, but there's always hope. And I don't think it's going to take much to turn things around. And to your point, I'm looking at 82-74 right now.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that the Blue Jays can't muster up 80 mm-hmm. something wins with that talent.
Yeah, it's really, really remarkable, again, that they've been out of it for so long, considering we live in the three wildcard system here. Now, I think just about everybody has now come to this realization as to what Vlad is and what his market price may be. And it seems quaint that we were having conversations about $300 million. It seems like that's in the past. Like he's going to make $300 million if you're signing him to an extension this offseason. The Bo thing is the most interesting one, yeah. Robert, because every year that he's had a healthy season, he's been among the American League hit leaders. And he never got a chance to resurrect his season this year just because of the injuries. But he had a similar start in 22 and still managed to be the American League leader in hits. what do you do with him? Because you can you afford to lose a player like him for nothing in free agency if you don't sign him to an extension? But what does an extension look like considering the health? Right. What do you get in return in trade if you decide to trade him? That's the biggest question, I think, for this team this offseason.
Yeah, I think those conversations have probably already been had internally. The question is, do we believe in Bo Bichette as a cornerstone piece of the franchise? That's one question. The other question is, does Bo Bichette want to be a part of the Toronto Blue Jays moving forward?
Yeah.
Does, I mean, I don't know. That's a question.
Recently he says he does.
Yeah. So, yeah. And look, if you throw hundreds of millions of dollars at a young man, I would say that would lean, you know, that would convince me, yeah, I want to be a part of it. So they've got some very interesting and big questions to figure out. Is it, do you sign one? Do you sign both? Do you sign neither? Are you, because if you, obviously, if you're not signing neither, then it's a total teardown.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't think that the Blue Jays are a franchise that should be in a massive rebuild. You know what I mean? They're a high revenue, big time franchise in a big time international city. They don't need to be doing that.
We agree.
so they definitely got some intriguing questions that need to be answered. But I maintain, I don't think it's going to take much. Couple savvy moves, a clear direction. Maybe some changes, whether it be behind the scenes or on the field. Who knows? I don't think it's going to take much for this team to get back.
I don't know if they'll put the Blue Jays in this column, but I guess with the offseason coming up, start talking about managerial hot seats. I don't know if the Blue Jays would make that move, but I wonder for you, like, who would be the top of the power rankings for maybe looking for a new job after the end of the season?
Well, I hate to speculate on people's you know, jobs and things like that. And look, John Schneider took this team to the postseason last year. Obviously, didn't work out the way he or anyone else associated with the organization would have wanted. But you know, I'm sure that those conversations have been ongoing, and I'm sure it's going to be a pretty tough conversation at the end of the season. He's a smart guy. He knows what it is, and he knows the kind of pressure that comes with managing in this division, managing in that city, and managing a team with a whole bunch of talent. So, you know, that's ultimately a decision that it's so difficult for me to offer an answer, because we just don't know, right? You just don't know what goes on in the clubhouse, how he's responding to the players and vice versa. So, but yeah, that's definitely one of the things that's going to have to be addressed and resolved.
I saw the Reds had Vegas had an odds list of their next managerial candidate in Cincinnati. Joey Votto's name showed up there. I don't know if you saw that. I don't know what a major league manager does, honestly, in 2024, because, you know, so much of the game plan is predetermined, you would imagine, and so much of the information is given to him, and there seems very little autonomy in that position. I don't know what Joey Votto's next move is, but boy, wouldn't that be an interesting situation? An all-time Reds player taking over as manager of that Reds team?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Joey Votto is one of the smartest minds in baseball. He's one of the most unique personalities in sports, and I have no doubt that if he decided to go that route, that he would be an amazing manager. The problem is there two things. One, it's a grueling job.
Yeah.
It's a grueling season. The job is even more grueling. And Joey Votto, I feel like he's made way too much money to want to put yeah. up with something like that, you know? So, but listen, if he ever decided to take it on, I know that he would be amazing, because he really has a unique way of looking at the games. I always love listening to him talk about the game and strategy and things like that. So certainly would be a lot of fun.
I could see him being maybe more of a a guy that jumps on the TV here and there and fills in on a panel and gets to show his personality.
His next move.
We'd love to have him on the network. I think he would be fantastic in front of the camera.
I think we'll be fighting over him too here at Sportsnet, so we could share him. How about that? Yeah. We appreciate your time tonight, Robert. It's going to be a really exciting end of the regular season, and postseason baseball is the best. So we appreciate you jumping on, and enjoy the baseball.
Hey, thanks a lot. Remember, MLB Networks, that's the home for the final day of the regular season on Sunday. We've got all the games. We're going to be popping back and forth to different games and keeping an eye on all those wild card races.
Awesome.
So, should be a lot of fun.
We'll see you then. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Robert Flores.
Right.
That sounds just like another version of the new Amazon, flipping around.
Yeah, yeah. You should
coast to coast.
Everybody just needs to throw the remote.
They can name it Base to Base or something.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I mean, there are some incredible playoff races headed down the stretch. There is nothing like meaningful baseball. And Blue Jays fans, you know, don't have to go that far back to remember what it feels like. Remember meaningful September baseball. Happened last year.
Yes.
Yeah, they won 89 games, and they managed to make the playoffs after being swept in a series by the Rangers in September. But, yeah, no, there's – I mean, the Mets and the Braves are playing a three-game series right now, which is probably going to decide a playoff spot in the National League. Mentioned the Mariners and the Astros battling it out in the American League West. Tigers already played today, but bottom of the American League wild card chase is grueling, and there's a lot still to be decided in the final week of the season.
What's your number one World Series duo, and why have we not said Mets Yankees?
Yeah, that would be good. We saw the Subway Series in recent vintage, I guess Francisco Lindor being back and healthy would Mets have a chance. It's Dodgers Yankees.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're in agreement.
Let's not go nuts here. This is,
it's easy.
Yeah. All-time franchises, the two MVPs doing battle. Maybe Shohei Ohtani coming out of the bullpen, too,
that's
to close
crazy.
It down. And then, it's not going to happen.
I hope it does. But I don't want it to. But I do.
Why
I don't want him
to
hurt himself.
I mean, here's the thing. When you throw a baseball, you risk hurting yourself every time
you
do it.
Shohei.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I'm worried that they'll it would be honestly the most spectacular sight to see him do this in the postseason. But
here's the likelihood. Shohei Ohtani is gonna mess his arm up at some point again because he's done it twice now. And again, you don't throw near 100 miles an hour and not tear your arm to shreds. So, and how many opportunities is he gonna get with a good Dodgers team? Maybe forever, because they're always gonna be spending, but. And boy, maybe, the starting pitching health will be better than they've had this year. But, Tyler Glass now, we could have maybe predicted he wouldn't be healthy. Same with Clayton Kershaw. But, yeah, I would love to see Yankees, Dodgers, as much as Blue Jays fans, obviously, it would probably be hurtful to see the Yankees in a World Series. If you could just separate that element of it, I think just from a pure entertainment and narrative standpoint, that's the be-all, end-all.
Yeah, I think we're going to see the Yankees. I just have this feeling about them. So we'll see what happens. Tonight, it's Blue Jays' final Looney Dogs night.
Yeah.
And so I need to tell the people what
this
needs to happen
Super
tonight,
Bowl.
Folks.
Are you not there tonight?
I'm here.
Yeah, but the game isn't.
I can still make it. Let me tell you what needs to happen here, okay, folks. Blue Jays fans so far, and other fans in attendance, have eaten 678,488 Looney Dogs. They are 15,377 Looney Dogs away from breaking the all-time record. So get that dog in ya.
If it doesn't happen tonight, it would be single-handedly responsible.
The last Looney Dogs I attended, I ate 10 dogs.
Yeah, okay. I mean, maybe we're going to be nine
short. If we are nine short, I will take the blame.
Where does the hot dog costume go on like a nightly basis when you don't have it?
I hang it up in the closet.
Yeah, okay.
It's got its own spot.
All right. So, yeah, you can't go down to the game today because you're not
going to make it. I know. But I'm going to believe in the folks that believe in the Looney Dog magic. They're going to get 15,000 is nothing.
10 is your record?
10's my record. How many do you think you could take down? That's just so disgusting.
It is true that the older you get, I struggle with the all-you-can-eat these days. Yeah. I did it at Dodger Stadium once. I sat in the all-you-can-eat Dodger dog section. Now, I've never been for Looney Dog night down at Rogers Center, but at Dodger Stadium, there are, like, no joke hot dogs.
Okay,
and I only could eat two.
Yeah,
so
I don't blame you. So you probably would get four.
Okay.
Because they're smaller.
All right. Yeah, four. Yeah, I feel really good about four.
Yeah, well, I believe in the Blue Jays fans tonight to be able to get 15,000 to break the all-time record. You can do it, folks. Just don't think about the nitrates.
Yeah, well, yeah. Or do.
Do you think if the White Sox play tonight, they could break the record for most losses in modern baseball history?
Yeah, that's exciting for White Sox
fans. That's something to watch.
Yeah.
There's a big record on the line.
It's going to happen,
tonight.
I think. You know, with six games to go, they're probably going to lose one more game.
I think they'll do it. So we could see the White Sox break the record and the Blue Jays with the Looney Dogs. So I hope it's a winning night all around.
History.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. Blue Jays baseball's up next. Have a good night.